You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you, America. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson. At this time, I usually say, please open your King James Bibles to the current book of the Bible we are studying, book, chapter, verse, and line. But today, we're taking a field trip. Today is America's Day of Repentance and Praise. However, please open your King James Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 10. Revelation, chapter 1, verse 10. Everybody's invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the live SoundCloud teaching. Now, we're still going to pray for America, but now we're going to focus on the body of Christ individually, that the body of Christ be sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. There will be prayers for that. There will be prayers for healing and deliverance. That's 6 p.m. every Wednesday. And everybody's invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, and SoundCloud taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The farmer's market, healthy, Christian, wonderful produce place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, America's Day of Repentance and Praise. Let's start out just right by praising Him. All over America, the Hebrew word for hallelujah is a praise word. All of America, lift up your hands to God and say, hallelujah.
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 All America, praise the Father.
Praise you, Father.
Praise the Son.
Praise you, Son.
Praise the Holy Spirit.
Praise you, Holy Spirit.
Jesus is Lord of America.
Jesus is Lord of America.
Hallelujah. 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 Let us pray. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we the people thank you, love you, and praise you for this America. Even in your Bible, you prophesied there would be a great nation, and you have made America great because of your blessings. But Father, we've taken a wrong turn. We're sinking in the sinkhole of sin. We were going right, and we took a dramatic lift. But Father, we're remembering your word, Isaiah 43:26, that you said, put you in remembrance of your word. Let us reason together. So Father, we the people of America, put you in remembrance of your word in 2 Chronicles 7:14. For you said, if my people call by my name, Christian, will humble themselves, fasting, we've been fasting, and pray, and seek my face, not your hand, not asking for stuff, you, Lord, we want you in America,
yes, Lord.
And turn from our wicked ways, repent. Father, you promised you would hear from heaven, you'd forgive our sins, and you heal our land. Your promise is a yes and amen. You're not a man that you shall lie. So, Father, all of America now, we're gathered together to confess our sins and repent of them. And, Father, we ask your Holy Spirit will move mightily in this land, even now. And, Father, that Jesus will again be the Lord of America, the Bible, the book. We ask you make America holy again, free again, safe again, peaceful again, law-abiding again, one nation under God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you that you hear us, and we know you hear us always, and we love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yes,
in the mighty name of Jesus. And all America, we say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Now, before we begin, we've got a very special guest. We've got Uncle Sam here. Let's have a hand clap for Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam, do you have anything to say to the people of America?
Yes, America, Uncle Sam wants you to repent.
You better obey him. Don't make Uncle Sam come down there. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Now, before we repent, we want to learn that America is in the Bible. So let's find that out very briefly. In Genesis chapter 49, Jacob was blessing his 12 sons. And when he got to Joseph, he said, Joseph, you will be a fruitful bough, and you will go over the wall. All of our people are very poetic. It was a metaphor. He means you're going to have a lot of descendants, and you're going to leave the Middle East. And then in Genesis chapter 48, Jacob was about to go home to God. Remember, Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob's name changed to Israel. Jacob had 12 sons, the 12 patriarchs, the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. So Jacob said, Joseph, bring your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and let me bless them. So Joseph brought Ephraim and Manasseh. This is Genesis 48. And Jacob said to Ephraim, Jacob Israel, Ephraim, you will be a multiple of nations, a multiple of nations, a commonwealth of nations. And Manasseh, you will be a great nation. You'll be a great nation. Now we're going to come back to Ephraim and we're going to come back to Manasseh to associate this with the United States of America. Remember, there were 12 tribes of Israel, but they split. They had a spat. Two of them, Benjamin and Judah, separated, changed their name to the House of Judah. We love our brother Judah. The other 10 tribes of Israel, the House of Israel, were captured by the Assyrian Sennacherib. You can read about that in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and 30, Isaiah 36 and 37. First of all, they went north to Samaria, but history documents that the 10 tribes migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, were later called Caucasians, and then they migrated into Europe, Ireland, Scotland, and England. But they stopped calling themselves Israel. They chose the name of a larger tribe, Ephraim. Now remember, the blessing on Ephraim, you'll be a multiple of nations. Ephraim is Great Britain, okay. But Manasseh had a little spat with them, cause tyranny arose, and Manasseh and all the others wanted to worship God as they pleased. So some of Manasseh went to Holland, some went to Canada. Well, the larger bulk of the 10 tribes of Israel, Manasseh, remember, a great nation, migrated over the Atlantic Ocean and settled these United States of America. The first thing they did, they had brought an old rugged cross over on the Mayflower, and they put it up on the sandy beach, and they dedicated this land to the glory of God the Father, Yahweh, and God the Son, Yeshua, Jesus. Our first schools were in churches. Our children went to school to learn to read the Bible. Lord, have mercy. So now, Revelation chapter 1, verses 10, excuse me, through 16. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candles, one like a son of man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white as snow. His eyes as a flame of fire, his feet like a defined brass, his voice as a sound of many waters. In his right hand he had seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as a sun shineth in his strength. The seven stars in the Greek is anglio, which means messenger. the messenger of the seven churches. The sword is the word of God. The seven candlesticks are the seven churches. John, the Apostle John, was taken in the Spirit to the Lord's Day, and the Lord Jesus dictated to him the entire book of Revelation. Now, there were seven churches in Asia, and those are the correct names, and they were in a circle. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, these things happened to them in the Bible for an example for those at the end of the age, we're at the end of the age. So seven is God's perfect number, Christ, Jesus, he's perfect. The seven churches in Asia represent all of the seven, all the different seven types, not seven, but types of churches on round planet Earth, and especially the types of Christian churches in America. And of course, the earth, the world is round. Now, Revelation says there are only two of those churches that please the Lord Jesus. They are Smyrna, which means fig, and they are Philadelphia, which means brotherly love. You can find why Smyrna and Philadelphia type. Now, remember, they are types in America, in the world. Why they please Jesus, that's documented in Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. Smyrna and Philadelphia types tell you who those are who say they are Judah, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. We love our brother Judah. Well, who are these imposters? They are the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, descendants of Cain, and Cain is a child of the devil, that old serpent who beguiled Eve there in the garden. Now, it's time now for us to repent. What I'm going to do, I'm going to confess the sins of these five type churches. Remember, they're all Christian, but they have different names now, but there are lots of them in America. I'm going to confess their sins, and Uncle Sam is going to repent of their sins. But what I want you to do all over America, when Uncle Sam finishes repenting, I'll say America, and I want all of us to say together, I agree in Jesus' name. Let's practice.
I agree in Jesus' name.
Okay, here we go. The first is the Ephesus type. Ephesus means permitted. This type of Christian church permits traditions of men to make void the word of God. Oh, maybe one verse and 3 points, but they do not teach book, chapter, verse, and line. As Paul said, read this epistle to the church, Isaiah 28 said, line by line. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They do not honor the word as they should. Uncle Sam, will you repent for Ephesus?
Yes, Lord, we come before you, Father, as your church, Father, and we ask for forgiveness, Lord, for removing you as our head, for removing the word, the very word, Jesus Christ, of us, Lord, from all the church in us, Lord. Father, we just ask for forgiveness, Lord, for making traditions of men our head instead of you, the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
And America, I agree in Jesus' name. The second type Christian church in America that does not please Jesus is called Pergamos. Pergamos means high and lifted up and commerce. Very big, very proud, and money, money, money. Lord have mercy. All you ever do is hear money. Very proud, very big. Pride goes before a fall. Uncle Sam, would you repent for Pergamos?
Yes, Lord, we come before you as your church, Lord, which has made money our God, which has removed you as our head. Father, we come to you and we ask for repentance, Lord. We ask for repentance for not seeking you, but seeking all these monetary things, Lord. We ask for forgiveness, Lord. We ask for forgiveness of this huge sin, Lord, that we've committed against you and against your house, Lord, for making your house a den of thieves instead of a house of prayer and word. Father, forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray.
And America, I agree in Jesus' name. Now, the third type church in America that does not please Jesus is Thyatira. The Thyatira Christian church worships Apollyon. You say, what? A Christian church worships Apollyon? Yes, but they think Apollyon is Jesus. In Revelation chapter 9, you will see the king of the bottomless pit. He's the about to appear Antichrist, the devil with his Jesus costume on. He's called Abaddon, and is called Apollyon. Abaddon means destruction. Apollyon means perdition, to turn to ashes from within. In Ezekiel chapter 28, the devil, called also that, King Tyrus, has been sentenced to perdition, to turn to ashes from within. So why would a Christian church worship Apollyon instead of Jesus? Because of a lie fly proverb that began in the 1830s by demented woman Margaret MacDonald. She said that Jesus is going to fly you away before the Antichrist comes. Not so. We've studied Revelation. The sixth trump is the Antichrist. The seventh trump is Jesus. And in Ezekiel chapter 13, in King James Version, Jesus says, I'm against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls. These Christians love Jesus. They go to the church all the time. They pray. And they're going to be deceived. But they're going to worship the devil instead of Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Uncle Sam, will you repent for Thyatira?
Yes, Lord, we come before you as your church, Lord, and ask for forgiveness, Lord. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, for believing in a strong delusion instead of believing your word and following your heart and following your word. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, of having the blinders of the enemy pulled over our eyes and over our hearts and over our ears, Lord. We ask for forgiveness of this, Lord, and we repent of this sin. In Jesus' name, amen.
And America, I agree in Jesus' name. Now, the fourth type Christian church in America that does not please Jesus is called Sardis. Sardis means tolerance. This type Christian church tolerates sin not only in the congregation, but in the pulpit. This type church calls evil good and good evil. This type church, even in the pulpit, offends God, and they absolutely do what Jesus calls an abomination, men with men and women with women. Now, I want to say, all of America and the world, I do not hate you if you have that aberration. It's not a physical problem. You have a psychological problem. God made us male and female. I used to have a school class full of these, and I loved every one of them. But it is an abomination, and it is in the church today. So, Uncle Sam, will you please repent for the sin of Sardis?
Yes, Lord, we come before you as your church, Lord, and ask for forgiveness of this sin, Lord, for asking for forgiveness, Lord, of the sin of just mixing with the fallen world, Father, for bringing sin into your house, Lord, into the house of God, and not staying true to your word. Father, we ask for repentance of this sin, Lord, and we just ask, Lord, that you heal us, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
And America, I agree in Jesus' name. The last church that does not please Jesus in America is Laodicea. This would be lukewarm. Jesus said, be cold or hot. He said, lukewarmers, you make me sick to my stomach. I will spew you out of my mouth. I will vomit you. This type Christian church, they go to church. They're very good people. They have their Bible. But they do not operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. They do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They do not know how to let the Holy Spirit intercede for them with groanings which cannot be uttered, that they pray according to Father's will. They are dead, like trees plucked up twice at the root, but they don't know that. Lukewarm. You don't want to make Jesus vomit. So, Uncle Sam, will you pray for Laodicea, the lukewarmers?
Father, we come before you, Lord, and we ask for forgiveness of this sin that's deep in the church, Lord, the sin of sitting dormant in your blood, Father, covered in your blood and not exercising the authority of it, Lord, for not moving in your word and with your word, exercising the authority of Jesus Christ, that the mandate that he put on us, Lord. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, of just being nothing and just sitting there and not performing the deeds that Jesus called us to do. Father, we ask for forgiveness of this sin, and we ask for healing of this sin. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. America,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Now, to the best of our ability, we've repented for the sins written in Revelation for the Christian church in America. But Lord have mercy, America has sinned. If I try to name all of those, we'd be here until next year. However, the Bible tells us that there are four hidden dynasties that have come from the devil to destroy America. They are metaphorically called in Joel chapter 1, the palmer worm, the canker worm, the locust, and the caterpillar. Boy, little wormy insects there. Creepy crawlies, right? Okay, that's a metaphor. The four hidden dynasties, but they're not hidden anymore. They're very obvious. The first one is political. Now, in Revelation chapter 13, the first beast there is the political system of the Antichrist. That second beast is the Antichrist himself. The political system is now operating to destroy America. They're communists, socialists, Marxists. Now, the second hidden dynasty is the economy. Inflation, higher gas prices. Our wonderful President Donald John Trump, in 3.5 years, made America energy independent. And boy, was our gas prices low. But the first day that Joe Biden took office there, I can't tell you how disgusting this is. He took away all of our places that we could have create fuel in America. And we have to buy our fuel from our enemies, from Iran. Iran says death to Satan, from Russia, from Venezuela. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. That's the economy. The third hidden dynasty, not hidden anymore, is the communist Marxist political system of the Antichrist, who's caused inflation, is now telling America to bow the knee at the God climate. Climate change. Have mercy. But last but not least, the fourth hidden dynasty in America is the educational system. Remember, our first schools in America were in churches to teach our people to read the Bible. Now our children are teaching all kind of gender rot when God made us male and female. I want to tell you something, America. That's not a body problem. You've got a psychological problem. You've got a sin problem. So we need to help you and love you with that. So I happen to know that Uncle Sam has two great parents in heaven. God bless you, Mr. and Mrs. Merson. They were school teachers in Florida, I think for about 30 years. So if there's anybody who's capable and qualified to pray for our schools in America, it's Uncle Sam. By the way, he's my twin friend, Scott Merson, owned the produce place. Uncle Sam, will you pray for the school system in America?
Yes, Lord, we lift up our school system to you, Father. All the way from VPK, Lord, all the way up to the top education systems in the colleges, Lord. Father, we ask for forgiveness, Lord. We just bring forth, Lord, we ask for forgiveness, Lord, for removing you, number one, from our schools, removing your morals, removing everything there is to do with you of our schools. We ask for forgiveness for removing the word of God out of our schools and from our children, Father. We ask, Lord, for forgiveness of this sin, Lord. And we pray, Father, that you rise up your strong army right now, Lord. Your army as you are rising them up, Lord, to be in the proper positions, Lord, of authority and remove all these demonic forces from our school boards. Remove these demonic forces out of our classrooms. Remove these demonic forces out of the political system, which is trying to control our children and make them wards of the state, Father. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that you just put back Jesus into the schools. Put back your word into the schools. Put back your order into the schools, Father. We ask for a clearing out of the enemy, Lord, and a marching in of your people, Lord, and your authority and your moral standards, Father. You are our standard. Jesus as our head. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
And America, we say, I agree in Jesus' name. Now, you've heard of the American dream, and you probably think it's to have a lot of money and have your own home. Not so. Our founding fathers originated the American dream. You know what our founding fathers called the American dream? That every citizen in the United States of America would be saved, that Jesus would be their Lord and the Bible their book. Well, all America's listening now, and all of our friends in other places. So this is your chance, America. If you'll pray this prayer of salvation and mean it, America can be saved. Here we go. Mean it in your heart. America. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Save my soul. Please forgive me for all my sins. Wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Sanctify me through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And put me in the place you want me in the body of Christ. And use me. To win many souls.
To Jesus.
Amen. Now, for those of you in cyberspace, Romans says with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone. In a little while, you're going to hear Uncle Sam give you my telephone number. I ask you to call me. You'll get my voicemail and leave your confession there. I'll pray for you and welcome to the family of God. By the way, all of you precious people calling me, there's no way I can call you back. On my voicemail, it says, please leave your prayer request. I don't say your telephone number. I can't call you back. Leave your prayer request, and I'll pray for you. But you might also like to email me. Here's my email. SherryMedlock@gmail.com. That's Shari Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. And now, America, let me bless you. America, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you America perfect in every good work to do his will. Work in you America that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory. Forever and ever and ever. Amen. Now, next week, we'll resume our regular teaching in Hebrews, and we love you and praise you. Now, this is your second best friend, America, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend, America, is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're all dead in trespasses and sin. The wages of sin is death. We needed a perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. No greater love is this than a man lay down his life for his friend. America, praise you, Father.
Praise
we
you, Lord.
Call forth Jesus is Lord of America.
Amen.
The Bible is the book.
Hallelujah.
We are one nation under God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We praise you, Father.
We praise you,
we
Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
And we love you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Jesus' name.
And I love all of you with all of my heart. And I'm looking forward to the next time we get together as a family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true? This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Ooh. and bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again. Life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ.
Changes us through.
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Just point me to the top and I'd go over. This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
If you're here today and you want your destiny, I would not be being fair to the Word of God if I didn't tell you that there are going to be dry spots along the journey.
Dr. Tony Evans says the process God uses to prepare us for our destiny isn't always comfortable.
Things can get worse before they get better, especially when you're being stripped of something that you're wrapped in.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Just when we think we're ready for what God has in store for us, God thinks we're ready for more preparation and purification. We'll learn why as Dr. Evans talks about the purpose behind the detours in our lives. Let's join him.
If you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, you have a destiny. Now, from an eternal perspective, we know what our destiny is, and that is to be in God's presence forever, worshiping Him and working for Him in that eternal state. That is our eternal destiny. We know that. But our concern or our focus is on the historical destiny that He has for you in this life. Part of experiencing your destiny is understanding your detours. When you look at Scripture, it is full of destinies being reached through detours. There is no individual in the Bible who illustrates this principle of detours and its relationship to destiny like the life of Joseph. Now, I love a good suspense novel. I love a drama. I love a movie or a book with twists and turns along the way, where they've got a story, and then they got a story within the story, and then a story within the story that's within the story that was in the story. So you got all kind of things happening at the same time. Now, if I'm impatient, I'll go to the last chapter, because then I can see where all this stuff winds up. Why don't we do that? Why don't we go to the end of Joseph's story? Look at Genesis chapter 50. This is the end of the story. We're going to back up to the beginning of the story in a second, but let's go to the end, because the end helps us understand the concept of destiny, and 37 to 50 gives you the whole suspense novel. But Joseph said to them, that is his brothers, "Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place?" You got a hint of destiny there. Destiny is being in the place God has for you. Am I not in God's place? "As for you, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Please notice that phrase, "As for you, you meant evil against me, and God meant it for good." Watch it, watch it. That tells you something about destiny. It includes evil and good. It's not all good going to destiny. There's some bad stuff on the way to destiny. There's some bad people on the way to destiny. In fact, in our lives, there have been some bad choices on our way to destiny. But don't get stuck there, because he says, even though there's bad, he says God was doing good. So you got bad and good simultaneously taking place in order to wind up in the place God has for you. Now, what you don't want to do is add more chapters to the book than is necessary. But nevertheless, that is the reality, and it involves some evil stuff that took place. Let's go back to the beginning of the story. Chapter 37. We find in verse 2, Joseph was 17 years of age. He is the 11th son of Jacob. Joseph is born into a dysfunctional family. Let me tell you about his daddy, Jacob. Jacob, ever since he was a little boy, was a deceiver. He was a trickster. His name means trickster. Because he was always deceiving somebody out of something in order to get his way. He is a manipulator by trade, which explains his children. Because his children became manipulators. Because what you and I pass on to our children are not only our looks, it's also our habits, be they good or bad. So the deceiver gave birth to deceivers. Jacob had 12 boys by 4 different women, which explains a lot. 12 sons of Jacob came from 4 different women. So you've got all kind of dynamics as you got all these baby mama drama in the context of the chaos of the family into which Joseph is born. Joseph's oldest brother, Reuben, has sex with Jacob, his father's wife. Chapter 35, verse 22. Oh, now you're reading your Bible. Talk about scandal. So he has a relationship with his father's wife, and his father finds out about it. So you can imagine the dynamic there. Two of his brothers, Simeon and Levi, are mass murderers. Simeon and Levi are mass murderers, chapter 34, verse 25. They talk a whole town of men into getting circumcised, meaning get spiritual. They get circumcised. And while the men were healing, they killed all the men. Because it's hard to fight back if you're a grown man and you've just been circumcised. They kill the whole town. So he's a murderer. He's got a brother, Judah, that has a sexual relationship with his daughter-in-law. I call this a messed up family. And that is the scenario into which Joseph was born. So, if we look at family, we don't see a lot of the raw ingredients for a great destiny. Some of you here today, if you look at your family, how messed up it was with your mama and your daddy and your siblings and your scenarios and or maybe even the blended situation, and on and on and on and on. It's just chaos. But it gets worse. Verse 3 says, now Israel, that's Jacob, Jacob loved Joseph more than all his sons. So Joseph, who's right now the baby boy, there will be one to come after him, Benjamin, but Joseph, the baby boy right now, is the favorite of the daddy. Why? Because he was the son of his old age. So Jacob loved Rachel. Rachel gave birth to Joseph. Rachel died a year earlier. So Rachel is gone. So the love he had for Rachel, who gave birth to Joseph, is transferred to Joseph. Joseph is his favorite because it came from Rachel. He came from Rachel. He loved him. Well, he loved Joseph more than all the sons because he was the son of his old age and made him a varied color tunic, a multicolored coat, or you and I would say an elegant robe. He didn't make anything for anybody else. He made a robe for his favorite kid, the baby in the family. When he made them this special coat, notice what happened. Verse 4, his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. So now you got a sibling situation because daddy's playing favorite. Now let me tell you why they hated him all the more. Not just because he got a pretty robe. That would have been enough of itself. But that's a robe that goes to the oldest son. because it was the firstborn who was to be the most recognized. And the firstborn got a double inheritance. So they understood what this role meant. This role meant that he was going to be treated like the firstborn, even though at this point he's the lastborn, and it says, and they hated him and would not speak to him on friendly terms. They talked about him, they degraded him, and there were sibling conflicts, and some of you know what it's like not to be able to communicate with brothers or sisters or siblings because of what went down with daddy and mama. But it ain't over. Because now Joseph has a dream. Verse 5, then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He says, please, verse 6, listen to the dream I had last night. Verse 7, behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect, and behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaves. Now, they already don't like you, boy.